Welcome to the 7th preseason Supercoach Coach podcast for season 2015. My name's Marcus, and this week we're joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day, Marcus. We've got a special guest tonight.
Yep. Dunny, back on for season 2015, of course. Filled in for you last year, Mark. So it's good to have Dunny back on.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me back this year.
Great having you on last year, Dunny, an expert around Supercoach and Dream Team circles. So good to have you on the show, Dunny.
Could be actually an interesting podcast this week because I'm actually not talking to Dunny after Port Adelaide did the dirty on the Bombers and stole Paddy Ryder off us. So you might have to facilitate most of the discussion, mate.
Okay. All right. Well, I figure this week I'll let you two be the experts anyway, seeing as it's the three of us on. So as forecasted, we're going through the NAB Cup today. So I think there's 6 games each week being played, 12 games altogether, and we'll have a skim through them, pick out the bits and bobs that stood out to us. And of course, we'll be doing a final NAB Cup review after the next 2 weeks of games as well. So if we don't cover everyone or if there's someone we missed, we will get to them. And of course, you can always ask us follow-up questions on social media at SupercoachCoach and on facebook.com/SupercoachCoach. Thank you guys heaps for your support. Got heaps more followers and fans over the preseason. So thanks for actually getting on there and following us and engaging with us. This week we'll actually be starting the show with questions from social media, the follow-up questions from the last few weeks. But after that, we'll dive straight into the review. Just one last reminder for the open leagues. Jump into those if you're keen. The league codes are on supercoachcoach.com.au, as well as the invite to our Supercoach group. And don't forget, on our forum, you can engage us. We're always on there, ready to chat preseason footy, of course. And our giveaway, this is the last call. The voting will end on Sunday, giving away a AFL Live pass. So thank you to everyone who's participated so far. All right, jump into the follow-up questions now. Sorry for the long intro. First from Blair Dewsbury, and good one to start off with because we can lead straight into Dunny here. Is Gray now number one lock in the forward line after his performance on the weekend, Dunny?
Look, you think so, and I went to the game and he was sensational. Looked like he hadn't missed a beat. It looked like a round 15 game or something. You know, he was fantastic. But for me, I'm still a little bit nervous about picking him up. He's priced pretty high and he's also got a fairly tough run to start. Port started out with Freo away, Sydney at home, North Melbourne away, and then Hawthorn at home. They're four really tough games. And for him to maintain that price, he needs to effectively average exactly what he did for the whole season last year. So for me, I think he's someone that I'm going to get into my team at some point. I'm still not sold on the fact that I'm going to start with him though.
All right.
Wow.
Sorry if I'm throwing you out there, guys.
Mark, maybe I'll let you follow up to that. What are you actually going to do with Gray, Mark?
He's sort of been in and out of my side a fair bit. Some of the concerns that Dunny raised, especially with the draw early on. I wonder, Dunny, do you think he might get a bit of extra attention this year after his stellar season last year, or do you think the number one tag goes to Boak every week still?
I reckon I've been asked that question about 15 times this week on Twitter, mate, and I'm still not sold that he's going to get the number one tag. I think he's one of those guys who is just so hard to tag. You almost, shall I say, risk it, and they'll just still go to Boak and probably Hartlett if he gets up from that groin injury. I think he'll certainly get more attention, but I still don't think you'll get that number one tag. I think Boak is such a prime move, if you like, in that engine room in the middle, and I think he will still attract that main attention.
I think that Gray had such a great year last year. He sort of shows enough contested ball ability that he could actually go further again and get up to the 125 plus average. And if he did that, then he'll probably have to have some really big games against the good sides as well and might start off the season on fire. So I don't think that I'm willing to write him off, but he's not a number one lock either, I don't think.
He's not a number one lock, but he's certainly not out of contention. Just got to see what happens, really.
Okay, I think I'm the most excited about Gray out of the three of us for this season, I guess. I'm pretty ready to lock him in at this stage in the season. I think in the forward show I mentioned that I like players that show a propensity to average a step above the players in their position, and Gray looks like he can do that. Like Mark says, he might even have the potential to move to 125, and even though he's expensive and he has an injury risk, I think that a player like that's worth the risk, and if he pays off, he'll really pay off, and if he doesn't, so be it. For me, it's like not starting with Gary Ablett. I know, obviously, it's silly to have Gray in that same air. He hasn't done it for year on year, and he is a lot more injury prone, but he has that ridiculous scoring potential in the forwards, and there are quite a few forwards this year that look really good, but I still think that most of them will average in the 105 to 110 range in terms of the midfielders playing in the forward line, like Goddard and Delidio and Martin. The people that might disagree with me on that, but I think Gray can average, you know, 5, 10, 15 points more, and that makes him potentially very valuable. So despite all the risk, I think that upside's just worth it, because it's going to be very hard to upgrade if he starts on fire. Based on that, I'll just start him. If he gets injured, I'll trade him out, that sort of mentality.
During the week, our good friend Hawker made the valid point that he probably has the biggest upside and the biggest downside of most of the forwards out there. Mm.
He won't play this week against Richmond. I don't know if the teams are out yet, but he's basically said on the radio after the game last week he won't play, so he'll only get one more nap game.
Thanks for that info, Dunny. We'll make sure to keep our eye out on him for the last week then. Jonathan Crockett's got the next question for us, and he's asking about another forward, Devon Smith, as a breakout this year. Any value in picking him?
With so many good forwards available this year, I just don't see Devon Smith being able to compete with them. He's fairly fully priced as a small forward moving up into the midfield. He could average a bit more than 92, I think he's averaged from last year, but I just don't see him really breaking out into the next category this year. And in another year, he might be someone worth picking, but there's just too much competition this year.
Next question is from Jess Sefton on Facebook. She's concerned that we haven't seen Nick Nat yet. So he was rested yet another week on the weekend. Do you think he'll play round one, guys?
I'm a bit sceptical as to whether he will, and I think there was rumours around that he won't play their third NAB Challenge game either, and I'm not sure whether they'll throw him straight into that round one matchup. So for me, I'm a little nervous. For me, he was almost a lock and load when I put my first team together, but now, gee, having to rethink that, I'm just not sure whether they'd be willing to throw him straight into that first game.
Yes, they will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will do well. There's precedent here. He has missed a lot of preseason games in the past, just jumped straight into round one and scored quite well.
Are you going to pick him up?
Nick Nat absolutely locked for round number one. Unless he isn't named, he will absolutely be making my side. Yeah, to take him not being named round one for him to miss out on my side.
I really don't know, Mark. I'm getting cold feet, to be honest. And last week, talking about the more premium options and the fact that Nick Nat's quite expensive already, I am getting concerned too. Like you said, though, if he's named round one, it would lead me to think that they've just been wrapping him in cotton wool. I know what to expect in picking him. I don't expect an injury-free player. I think I'm just going to hold on and hope that he plays one more NAB game, and if he doesn't, it'll be a real line ball call. But at this point, I'm still happy to start him, even if he doesn't play any NAB games and is named round one. I'm just not confident of actually doing that. Next question is from BKB or at GG Hippo on Twitter. Great show last week. Thanks, BKB. But have to ask, why was Sanderlands excluded in the analysis? Mark, do you want to take that one?
I think that his hit out to advantage stats aren't amazing, and he had such a huge year last year. He's getting on a bit, and his durability is a bit of a concern, and he's fully priced. So there's not the value that there was last year. They're my reasons.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, mate. That's pretty much why I probably won't be picking you.
Next question is from David Siddles on Facebook. All these mid-price defenders, should we allow ourselves to be sucked in? Has there ever been a year where picking four or more mid-prices has actually worked out? And he's referenced Shepherd, Pierce, Nunes, etc. So we've talked all preseason long that there's not any premium defenders down back, and that we're trying to look for value because there doesn't appear to be many rookies down back as well. As we get closer, I have noticed a shift more and more toward premiums. Again, this mirrored the conversation that we had exactly last week in the Rocks. As we get closer to the start of the season, you get cold feet on mid prices and you firm toward established premium. So as it currently stands, are you still sticking to the mid price strategy, Mark, or have you swapped to premiums in your back line as well?
Yeah, good on you for predicting that this would happen, Marcus. You did predict it pretty much the first week we jumped on, I think. And yeah, look, I have. I probably had up to three mid prices in my back line for most of the preseason, but I'm down to two or maybe even one at the moment. So yeah, look, my team has been moving in that direction, and it is hard to get four mid prices right. I think that we'll probably cover it a little bit more next week when we do get into the defensive decision making that we're going to make. But mid prices don't have to reach the same standard this year because there's the scoring ceiling of a lot of the defenders is a bit lower. So if it was ever going to happen this year, might be the year. That was just my thinking on it.
I wasn't lying, Mark. We got all the mid prices out of the way early on, and I think the last 3 weeks we haven't really talked much mid prices at all. On to what you were referring to, Mark, the fact that this year the ceiling might drop for the backline defenders. Got a question from Jono on Twitter, and he's asked whether, in fact, the ceiling may have dropped from 95 to something as drastic as 85 in 2015. Do you think that that will pan out? Because we've had another community article as well on supercoach.com.au by a member called Rupert, and he's also thinking that this year it looks like scores are dropping, and it's an opportune time to, you know, maybe not spend as much on these premium defenders.
Yeah, I think that those articles and that information seems reasonably accurate, and there might be a few surprises, but based on what we know, that all seems reasonable.
I mean, a lot of this seems to obviously be linked back to we've lost a lot of our mid-defender eligible players. In the past, we've been blessed with guys like Goddard, Gibbs, having that eligibility. So without that this year, I think you're right, the ceiling for those defenders is going to be a lot lower than what we're used to. Unfortunately, it's just the way the game's gone this year.
How's that affected your selections in the back line this year, Dunny?
Yeah, my back line is an absolute disaster area still. I'm still a little lost as to what I'm going to do there. I think, although I probably will go with that, you know, trying to get a few more premiums in there, and I'm going to have to take a few more rookies elsewhere, but I'm not sold on all of these mid prices at the moment. Probably Nunes is about the only one that I'm really liking anything of it so far. So this just made the back line really tough this year, I think.
I've just actually moved more and more towards expensive guys, and we've talked about forward rookies being attractive, and we actually got a question about that now. So Matt Farina has asked about chasing the rookies in the forward line and stacking the back line. So what we've been leading toward from the past couple of questions, he currently has Whitecross at D6, which quite a few people do, but apart from that, sounds like he's going all premium down there. Do you think that's going too far?
No, I think that's where everyone's going to head this year. I think really, just as I said, with, you know, with the lack of quality players that we can actually pick down there who are going to get those big scores. Whitecross, I'm not sure. I don't think he's played a game yet so far, has he? So keen to see him come up for the next one.
Next question's from Stephen Ben, and he's asking about how much importance we place on NAB scores. Does it make us reconsider players you only briefly thought about beforehand? What's your policy toward the NAB Cup, guys?
There's no one that I'm going to pick exclusively on NAB form. When it comes to premiums, all I want to see is whether they're fit or not. Like, I don't think you want to read too much into Robbie Gray's score. You basically know what he can do. It's just whether he's fit and had a good preseason and going to get some game time. When it comes to mid prices, I'm probably a bit more open. You could potentially see some breakouts amongst the mid prices. When it comes to rookies, obviously we're really relying on the NABs. So yeah, I guess there's a sliding scale from premium down to rookie.
That's pretty much exactly how I look at it, mate. To be honest, I don't take too much out of the first couple of weeks of NAB when I'm looking at the rookies as well. You know, obviously in the third week of a team's NAB campaign, if you want to call it that, that's when you start to see, you know, start to head towards that best 22, you know, coach getting things ready for round one. That's probably what I'll take a bit more out of. Like, you know, guys on the weekend were, you know, getting plenty of game time, and think, well, are they really going to when all the stars get back into that side? So it's probably looking at those guys for, you know, if they do come in during the season, can they actually play? But you're right, mate. I think, you know, the rookies are the ones that I'm more concerned about in the NAB.
That's why you're the experts. I think that's both good tips. One, sliding scale. The cheaper they are, sort of the more importance you place on the NAB Cup. And two, the later the NAB Cup goes, probably the more importance each game has. All right, next, we're moving on to the NAB Cup review now. And we're just going to go through game by game, pick out guys that we like. Start off with the first game of the preseason campaign, Hawthorn versus Collingwood. Collingwood won, of course. And I think the standout for me was Jetty Anderson. He's actually really cheap, available in the midfield this year after injury ravaged deal last year. Scored 110 Supercoach points off 26 possessions, kicking a goal, 4 clearances. That's really got to stand out. I think he's only at 135k, something like that.
Yeah, about 140. I think that his role was obviously way bigger than it will be in normal games, but the fact that he put in such a big performance after had some pretty big raps leading into the game means that he's probably a good chance of making round one. The player for me for that game was probably Paddy Karneses. I know we've been sucked in the preseason before. His form in the VFL we got last year was actually really, really good when he got on the park. Kicked plenty of goals, just struggled a bit with injuries. So, look, I think a fit Paddy Karneses probably does make their round one team. And if he does, he's a good chance of lining up for my team as well.
And we were considering Karneses when he was mid-priced. Now he's rookie priced at also 130+K. So definitely big tick for him. Next game to the Eagles versus the Carlton Blues. Dunny, who did you like?
I guess Brad Shepherd's someone who everyone's spending a lot of time looking at. And I guess I saw it firsthand on Sunday. So we'll get to that game a bit later on. But yeah, he's one of those mid-priced defenders that we were just talking about. So a bit dangerous from that sort of point of view, I guess.
Did have 24 touches, but only at 66%. So he had a high DT to Supercoach score, which is not ideal. Normally you want your people moving out of the halfback flank with a little bit better disposal efficiency. So that was the only red flag. Two rookies from Carlton that are on the radar, Cripps, who I picked last season and then got injured. Disappointing, but really looking forward to what he can produce this year. 14 possessions, 78 Supercoach points at 85% disposal efficiency. 10 contested possessions out of the 14, so he's a contested machine, and hopefully this year will translate into some good Supercoach points. Blaine Bokers, how do you pronounce that, guys?
Sounds good to me.
Yep.
29 Supercoach points. He had 9 possessions for the game. Did you guys have anything to note on either of them?
Expected a bit more.
Yeah, I was hoping for a lot more out of Blaine, to be honest.
So Cade Simpson, just 50 off 77% time on ground. He's one of the premiums, so you don't want to get really too much into it, but not overly encouraging.
Next to the Brisbane Lions v St Kilda game. So this was actually a close one, 58 to 55, and the Lions took the game. What did you guys notice in this game?
The two Saints mid prices from defence, Jarryn Geary, did get a bit of extra points towards the end of the game, but 152 Supercoach. He is cheap after being injured for a lot of last year and looks primed to play a reasonably important role for the Saints up back. And Jack Nunes doing basically what everyone said that he would. 21 possessions, 100 points. That's what I think people are expecting him to do every week.
They're the two guys that I was probably looking at most in defence there. The other interesting thing, I guess, with the Brisbane team is Matthew Leuenberger and Stephen Martin, how they're working together. You know, Leuenberger played 59% of that first game. Probably did okay, but I don't know if he's, you know, he was a lock in a lot of teams. Not sure if he still is or not.
As we mentioned, not really good around the grounds. Only had the 6 touches and 12 hitouts for the game.
Well, we've got you, Danny. Have you got any thoughts on Beams versus Rocky?
I'm still really nervous on those two, whether they are actually going to steal points off each other. But from what I've seen from the two games so far, gee, I think they are going to work really nicely together. I think I'm going to end up with one of those guys in my team. At the moment, it's probably Beams just from a pure dollars point of view.
Right.
But, and I guess that's with Hanley out particularly. You know, it's just another one of their key ball winners out, which means there's a bit more ball for these two guys to still pick up.
And Daniel Rich showed a little bit of promise, played 83% game time and played off the halfback flank, was not tagged, which of course might be different come season proper. 20 possessions for 97 Supercoach points, showing just how damaging he can be.
Yeah.
On to the next game, we're headed to the Dogs v Tigers now, and the Western Bulldogs got up by about 20 points. Luke Dalhouse, 22 possessions and 100 points. Some people looking to him in the forward line would be glad to see him hitting some form early on. Liberatore, of course, the sad news from that story. Doing his ACL and out for the season. Do you guys notice Kane Lambert for the Richmond Tigers?
Absolutely. I'm a bit of a fan of his at the moment. I've got him in my team at the moment, just hoping he does get that upgrade spot, which I'm fairly confident that he will. I guess they're tossing up between him and Matt Thomas. Personally, I think they should be going with the younger guy. He's cheap and he seems to know what he's doing when he gets out there.
He only played 65% time on ground for that 85 Supercoach points. So that really was quite a good debut for him. And he's mid-forward, which is nice. And he's a mature ager, which also means that he's basement priced. I think he's only 103K. So ticks a lot of the boxes and a lot of people are looking quite closely at him. Next game, Adelaide Crows versus North Melbourne. Adelaide Crows won by 10 points. Anybody stand out in that game for you guys?
I guess Sean Higgins, 136, wouldn't touch him, but still that's a massive score. Jamie McMillan, 93, a cheap defender.
Just before you move on from Higgins, I remember we talked about him early on in the preseason when we were talking about players who moved clubs, and we were sort of speculating about where he would actually play. He actually got moved a bit more onto the wing and got to actually move forward a little bit. So he kicked 3 goals and got to play a bit on the wing. He is available in the back line, Mark. So I know that you were thinking that if he was in the back line, you wouldn't touch him. But if North Melbourne are a top 4 team and he can play wing and half forward, or do you maybe think that he's worth consideration, considering the backline options are slim this year?
So much pain over such a long period. yeah, just can't bring myself to do it again. There's been some good times with Sean, but my time with him is done.
Okay. Dunny, at all?
Look, I'm thinking about him, but he's just burnt me too many times. Can he stay fit for the season? That's probably the big question. Look, I'm interested to see how North Melbourne are going to use him. I'm not sold, but I'm not writing him off just yet.
Daniel Wells actually did really, really well in that game. He was subbed off, and so he didn't actually play the whole game. But for 60% game time, 75 Supercoach points off his 11 possessions and kicking a goal as well. So good signs for the 300K mid-pricer. Brad Crouch, 127 Supercoach points. Second year breakout player. How do you like the look of that?
Yeah, I like the look of Brad Crouch. I think a lot of people have got their eye on him. From his stats, he certainly had a lot of handballs and only a couple of kicks. But, you know, he was obviously very effective with those, which is a good thing. I think he will break out. I think he'll be one of the more dominant players in that side this year. If I can swing him in there, I probably will be.
Adelaide do have a good start to the year with their
They
score.
Do.
I was interested to see Van Berlo, 77% time on ground and just 59 points off 13 touches. Not all that encouraging for someone we're going to play 200K for. I did like Riley O'Brien, who took on the ruck work in that game and did all right for the Adelaide Crows, and he's putting his hand up as maybe someone that would be next in line if there was an injury, considering he'll be on my bench more than likely this year.
Yeah, I think just with Van Berlo, I think everyone, all they wanted to see was just him out there and running around and actually run out the game. So I'll be more interested to see how he goes in the next couple for them as to what happens as to whether I pick him up or not.
To the next game, and we're moving to the Suns v the Cats game now, so I obviously paid a bit more closer attention to this one. What did you guys actually see from the game that you liked, though?
Cade Colajasny, 84 points.
I think for me, Mitch Clark got through the game, I guess. Didn't do anything fantastic, but he played the whole game out, which is, I guess, you know, really all he would have been looking to get out of that game.
Go, you've got a minute.
Yeah, well, I don't know. This is pretty bad to start off with, but, like, haters gonna hate. Like... I'm sorry, I had to use Taylor Swift lyrics, but I don't know. There seems to be some people out there with a little bit of doubt on Mitch Clark, and I talked about him early in the season, and it does really seem like Geelong have him firmly in their sights as a number 2 forward, and it's clear that, you know, I think they're saying they only wanted to play him half a game, and they ended up playing him, you know, 3 quarters or more, and he ended up kicking 2 goals consecutively and gave off another. So I think he's done enough to start in every team, and haters better get over it now.
Got about 20 seconds left. Who else from Geelong?
Come on, I think there's a few more good prospects. Martel, 148 Supercoach points, 72% time on ground only, believe that or not, playing back in the midfield now, and together with James Kelly, who's also doing the same. So I think those two are guys to look out for. People maybe didn't have as much confidence in Jimmy, would probably have a hell of a lot more confidence in Jimmy now. And if we go back to 2 years ago, in 2013, he scored better than last year, but he was actually playing half back flank then. So this is the first time in a while that he's actually not a utility, not half back. He's midfield, and I think he's looking good there. And James Kelly, 95 points off 63% time on ground. He got 20 possessions. He's still looking as good as ever. He's going to tackle and get you points there. He got 6 tackles. He got 11 contested possessions. So in the back line this year, where we're struggling for options, he's a little bit of a gem that maybe people might not be looking as closely at. Those are probably the two. And then Darcy Lang, sorry, a rookie. So if you're looking for a rookie in the midfield, he'll probably start getting games for us. He was our first round draft pick, didn't play games for us, or maybe play one game for us last year, something like that. And I think he's still under 170K, and he's a first rounder, so he's got the good 66% time on ground, scored 83 Supercoach points. So I think they were all worth talking about. They're all decent options. Mitch
Cockatoo,
Hallahan,
any chance for round one?
Cockatoo is, but I think he was picked at pick 10, so he's not cheap, and he's silky and all that, but I don't think he's going to have a high possession rate from the get-go, and so I probably wouldn't start with him until he shows a bit more scoring. I'm still open to him, but I'm probably liking Lang a little bit more at this very moment. He's a year older, of course. This was the game that Zach Smith really stamped himself with that 127 Supercoach game. Clearly wants that position. On to the next game, Dockers versus Demons now. Dockers got the win.
Well, I think, you know, everyone was pretty keen to see Ben Newton, basically rookie priced or just above rookie priced, I guess, in that Demons outfit. Had a fantastic year last year in the SANFL for the Port Magpies. Basically just couldn't break into the power midfield. He only played the first half and, you know, cut to the head or something like that. So for me at the moment, he's still looking like a really good player to slot in there. And I think the other one that everyone was really keen on was Aaron Vandenberg, basically the guy who came on for him. Played 48% of the game and he averaged pretty well in the kneeful last year. So, those two are probably the ones that I was really keen on seeing.
Yep, same with me, mate. Christian Salem, interesting that he played most of the game and only scored 40 points. I know a lot of people were talking him up with his new role across halfback, but we might have to rethink that one. Lockie Neal could have a breakout year this year, but there was a few players missing or rested from that game.
Demon fans wouldn't be happy, guys. Come on, we're forgetting the number one, Jesse Hogan here. Had 11 possessions, kicked the goal. So encouraging first game for Melbourne as well.
Did hurt his foot at training during the week, but apparently scans have come back and he's all right.
Next to the Swans v Lions game, and the Lions actually beat the Swans in this. What did you guys like from the game?
Tom Mitchell, been talked about a lot in the past. Picked up 20 possessions, 4 marks. He was on the ground about 75% of the game. I think in the past he's been told, you know, he wasn't getting a game because of the defensive side of his game. From what I could see, he did a bit more of that. Hopefully it's enough to impress Horst Longmire and could be a potential breakout candidate.
It's interesting. There was about, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago I was talking him up as a lock in my forward line and breakout for this year, but I've gone a bit cool on him since then. That performance was all right, but I think, as Marcus discussed earlier, that the average you're looking for in the forwards this year is maybe the 105 to 110 mark, and I'm not sure that Mitchell is going to get enough midfield time with that deep Swans midfield to justify that. But, I mean, obviously, still a decent chance of making my side, but just cooled slightly in that area.
It was not that encouraging to see Jack Kennedy, Hanabry and Parker arguably have a little bit better games than Mitchell. Of course, all fighting for that share of the pie.
The other standout for the Swans in that game was Isaac Heaney. He was super impressive from what I saw. He really stood out on the ground. You can see why. And there's so much hype surrounding the young man. It'll just be interesting to see how much game time he does actually get for the Swans this year. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see him break in over the course of the year and solidify a spot. But I don't know whether he's in their best 22 at the start of the year.
Probably just the last bit on that one was Leuenberger. He attended 34 ruck contests to Martin's 44, and he only had the 3 possessions other than the hit-outs.
Wow.
So that was a bit of an alarm bells moment for me.
And didn't Martin look really good again?
He did, yeah. He looked very good in that one.
There's been talk about him really bulking up in the gym and still looking really stripped down and being able to move across the ground as we know he can. So Leuenberger looking worse and worse, and the premium options looking better and better in comparison, I suppose.
All right. Just need a bit more salary cap.
Yep, to the Giants v the Suns game now.
Griffin.
Jesus Christ, didn't he announce himself? 31 possessions. I remember talking to you about him in the midfield show, and remember how I brought up Faz? Faz hadn't listened to that show yet, and I actually talked to him about whether he had Griffin in his team, and this was before Griffin's game, and he had, actually. So it's interesting to see Griffin explode, and Faz was very happy to see that over the weekend. He snuck into my team for the first time.
I'm pretty sure the Suns didn't really go near him in that game.
That's fair enough. All I wanted to see is that he's capable of smashing it out of the park and dominating again, and he kind of did. So I know it's just a preseason game, but
the biggest check mark against him has been that he has been really susceptible to the tag and gets the tag every single week. So he still scores okay, but really, like, he gets a really heavy tag every week. And playing like that is just going to absolutely solidify that happens every single week from now on.
But in his year where he did average that career high, he'd already taken over the number one tag for Boyd. He was getting the number one tag every week. He was still managing those scores. So I know there's more doubt on him, but like we went over in the midfield show, I probably have a bit more faith in his general footballing ability in general. So I'm still hopeful, and like I said, I don't expect him to make everyone's team, but for me, his value now is singing out, and he's made my draft team for the first time. So I'm not saying I'm picking him, but he's made it for the first time after a big score. So just let me get a bit picks, Ivan, Mark. It's value town, all right? We can't talk min prices anymore. At least value premiums are a bit exciting.
One thing that did come out in that game that I'd just like to touch on is Andrew Phillips. There's a talk that they might play two ruckmen at the Giants this year, and he could average 50 or 60 potentially if that was to happen. Do you think you could pay $200,000 for him to put him on your bench if he was going to play every week?
That really sounds like a lot for me. I don't think I would commit to that. I think I would rather risk the injury and spend the trade, or if I'm going to spend that money, probably spend it with a ruck forward instead and try and have a swing player that way. You're still paying 100K in value for that cover. That's not really cheap for a guy who's only going to score 50 or 60.
Interesting, while we're on the subject of ruckman, to see Zach Smith come very much down to earth with Tom Nichols in the side. Smith just scoring 42 off for about 70% time on ground.
Harley Bennell, though, guys. Lock. 104 in a losing side, 21 possessions, still 3 goals. Doesn't need the team, just scores anyway. Very excited about him. All right, next game is the Essendon versus St Kilda game. Mark, you finally got to watch your boys play. I was watching the game too, and unfortunately, I don't think it was the satisfying reintroduction to NAB Cup footy that I was wishing for you last week. It wasn't the most exciting game to watch with so many VFL and State League players playing for you guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I was watching my boys or some other team. Probably the player for the Bombers that stood out the most to me was Sean Edwards. I have him probably in the fringe of the Essendon's best 22. It might be hard for him to get a game every week and probably a good chance for the sub, but his pace definitely stood out in that game. Jonathan Giles had a good game, but I mean, I guess we expect that. Given his opposition, he was up against an American guy playing for the Saints.
Holmes.
Yeah, it's up against him as a ruckman for a lot of the game and sort of our only real key forward as well. So I wouldn't read too much into Giles' scores at this stage. Yeah, not a lot of other players really stood out for the Bombers, unfortunately. I guess for the Saints, Nunes did about what we expected again.
Next game to the Power vs Eagles games, and it's a little bit more exciting at least to talk about. Of course, we've got Gray with the big 169 score that we've talked about already today. And then another interesting player that bobbed up, Nathan Cracker, who fantasy coaches might remember from a few years back. Mid-pricer who did all right in 1 year. He played first game of AFL footy for quite a while, came on as a sub, 7 touches at 100% though, which is pretty impressive. So he scored 42 points in only 38% time on ground.
Yeah, he only played the quarter and a half. Looked really good when he was out there. I was quite impressed with his attack on the ball and his endeavour. Like I said, he just wasn't out there long enough to get a good read on it. I'm not sure if he's going to make that best 22, and if he does, I think he's a pretty big sub best risk.
Seems like he could be fringe best 22, and like you said, a good chance for the sub. But if anyone could break into that best 22, it might be someone of Nathan Cracker's skill and experience. And he did have a pretty good year in the sample last year.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate. I agree.
Tilt for premiership, 26-year-old coming back onto the list to top up. So signs are pointing to good things. Hopefully it becomes a decent option for us. Tom Lamb's the other guy to look at as well. Of course, their first round pick from last year, 82 Supercoach points off only 14 possessions, scored a goal as well, 62% time on ground only. And he's looking quite an attractive prospect and in a lot of draft teams at this point in the season.
He had a bit of a reputation for being inconsistent as in the under 18s. So it'll be interesting to see how he does perform this year. Probably a decent chance for the sub best as well.
He was everywhere, particularly the first quarter, but especially the first half. He did fade out of it in that second half. And interestingly, first quarter he played up forward. Second quarter he actually spent some time in defence, effectively marking West off. So I thought that was quite an interesting role for him, I guess. But he certainly looked really good.
And Brad Shepherd, 116. And he had never posted 100 before in his Supercoach career. So is this a sign of sixth season breakout?
He's a first-round draft pick, and we've had our eye on him for a while, so I can understand why everybody's looking toward him, but it feels so risky. Let me read his averages to you guys. 60, 57, 56, 50, and then 67 now.
But, can you read out the most games he's played in a year?
14, too.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's hard.
I guess the thing with him is, West Coast have got a couple of injuries down back there now with Xavier Ellis went off with a hammy during that game. Yeah, Waters retired. They've lost McKenzie as well. You know, there's a couple of openings down there, so maybe that 14 could be beaten this year.
I think he's at 360,000, so he's not a bad pick. I'm not going to tell anyone not to pick him, but just personally, if I'm looking at somebody of his risk profile, I'm definitely looking at them in the $200,000 range to $300,000, and that's sort of my limit. When it passed that, I'm looking for generally a safer bet, because that's a lot of money. You're starting to get into deeper pockets that you're investing. So each to his own, but he's certainly presented very, very well so far in the preseason. To the last game of the first two rounds, North Melbourne versus Hawthorn, and North Melbourne just pipped the Hawks. Wow, wasn't that a good one?
North hardly touched the ball in the first quarter.
Jordan Lewis, Mark, you flagged in the midfield show, showed himself to be good again with 29 touches. So good call, mate.
Actually expected a little bit more points from him. He's in consideration for my team. It's just that he's been in the system like 10 years and his premium scoring was really, really good for the last 10 rounds of last year. But you don't have any example of him doing it outside of that. So there's a few reasons why it could be his year that he continues on with it this year, the generational change of midfielders at the Hawks. It's a pretty big gamble to take to be taking him, I think.
As you flagged, Jedda Anderson didn't quite get as prolific a role this time, scored 70 points, but still for a rookie price player, that's pretty decent.
17 touches.
Andrew Swallow was encouraging, 24 touches, 6 tackles, 8 contested possessions. He only played 68% time on ground, already scored 95 Supercoach points. So if you play proper time on ground, that is a proper ultra premium game from him.
Is he in your team, Danny?
He's not at the moment, but then my team hasn't been updated for a while, and he's certainly one that I want to put in there.
Because he was in like a lot of people's teams at the start of the preseason, and seems to hardly see his name brought up anymore.
He's in my team.
He's in Marcus.
I've picked Swallow in the past, and even though he's not quite as explosive as you'd like, he is very reliable, I'll tell you that. He plays like a true captain, and you appreciate the fact that he gets clearances and tackles every single game to go along with his possessions. So, yeah, I actually like him, and I'm hoping that if North Melbourne are a top four team, he can actually break out to finally be a 115 averaging player. But at worst, he can hit 110. We've seen that. Got a question about Jamie McMillan, guys. So you did talk about him previously, Mark. In the second game, 14 touches, 71 Supercoach points. What do you reckon, where you place on him?
270,000. Don't want to talk him up too much because, I mean, he's certainly not an obvious pick. Has been included in the North Melbourne leadership group this year, which I think is a pretty good sign. Missed all of last year, except for, I think, round 23 in the final through injury. So he is definitely discounted and could improve. And most years, I don't think he'd be on anyone's radar. It's just that if the ceiling for defenders lowers, then maybe he does come into calculations this year. And if he can average 80, then he's a decent pick at his price.
Another cheaper North Melbourne guy is Robbie Tarrant, and we also got a question about him. So he's in the forward line, scored 83 points, but he was actually playing in the back line on the weekend on Gunston. 15 touches at 93% for only 64% game time. We've seen him being effective both in the back line and the forward line. We've seen swing players be reasonably effective in the past. He's only priced at, I think, 150k or so. So certainly an option.
Maybe. He did play at halfback in the first game and only scored 32 points from about three quarters of the game and has a terrible injury history.
And his averages in the past, certainly nothing to excite me, to be honest. I think, you know, just have a quick look here. His highest average been 61.
And I suppose in the forward line, we have plenty of options this year, has been flagged throughout the preseason and in this show already. So that would be against him as well, I suppose. That's it. That wraps up the first 2 weeks of the NAB Cup, guys. So we don't have any stats all compiled together. We haven't got a three-week form line yet, but we've had a taste and good to get some footy back.
It is, mate. Did you want to talk about Geelong for a bit more?
Yeah, they only played in one game. That's not enough Geelong. That's all right. The next show, I get to talk about them twice. I'm sorry you didn't get to talk as much about Essendon, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for rubbing that in, mate. I can talk about the practice match we played against Williamstown on Friday night.
Yeah, let's get some inside info from that then.
Didn't actually go because it was pouring down with rain. I think only 60 people went. apparently Carlisle played quite well, which might not bode great for Jonathan Giles because Carlisle was suffering a bit from an injury. But if we play Carlisle, Joey Danaher and Bell Chambers, there might not be room for Giles. It'll be interesting to see what happens there.
So it's been great having you on the show again, Dunny. So I just wanted to ask whether you had any players that you maybe wanted to claim for the season while we got you on for the preseason show. Anyone that you can put your stamp on when we have you back on later in the season, you can go, I told you so.
Well, I'd love to throw a few names out there, but no, I don't really have anyone like that just at the minute. I guess if I was going to pick anyone, I'd say, I think you've talked about him a lot in the preseason already, it'd be Swanee. I think he's going to really bounce back this year. The other one that I'm very keen on still is Dusty Martin. I think he's still a very good pick.
Okay, that's good to hear, Dunny, because we haven't had anyone put a gung-ho sales pitch for Dusty Martin forward, and probably not right, because he probably does deserve one. He has that potential.
I think that's what it is. I think he's got that potential to go really big in some games. And when he doesn't have a big game, he still tends to get up around that 100 score. So if you're playing him up forward, you know, I think he's a good choice.
Any tips from the Port team this year?
To be honest, I'm not going to actually have a lot of Port players in my side. Robbie Gray is obviously the one that's, you know, in contention.
Is that because of the draw or because you just had such a great year last year so they were all sort of fully priced?
I think that's probably it. I think a lot of them are fully priced. I don't think there's a lot of value in our team at the moment. You know, I'm obviously looking for Wines to take that next step again this year. Not quite sure how Lobie and Ryder will work together. I think Ryder will spend a lot of time up forward, so not sure how that will go. And I don't see us playing too many of the rookies. Carl Amon was probably the one who everyone's looking at. He played just over three quarters on the weekend. Got a few nice touches in there, but I'm not sure how he's going to break into that lineup.
So we're also a bit desperate for defenders, as you well know. Matthew Broadbent and Jasper Pittard are your two mid-price rebounders from in the back line. Any chance?
After going to the footy last year with Dunny, I can guarantee you he is not going to recommend Jasper Pittard.
Oh, I don't know what made you think that, Mark. Yeah, no, I can't recommend Jasper Pittard. He does his job and he can be a bit frustrating at times. And I think even I read somewhere where Kenny says, well, Jasper's going to have that one or two things he does. But no, look, seriously, I think Broadbent is a good player. But gee, I don't know if he's a fantasy player. I think that's probably the hard part. Does well for the team, but I'm not sure that I could pick him in fantasy.
Saw him brought up once. I think he averaged 84 or something in his fourth season. So there was just a bit of chatter, but good to hear from a Port supporter anyway, Dunny. Thanks so much for coming on the show this week.
No, thanks for having us, guys. Always a pleasure.
All the best for picking your team for the remainder of the preseason, Dunny. Hopefully we get some more clear-cut answers from this NAB Cup, hey?
And that's what I'm looking for in, I guess, the last week or the third game for each team. Hopefully a bit more of a look at who is best 22 and who isn't.
Mark, good to speak to you again this week. Anything to leave us with this week?
No, I'm probably a little bit more excited about the footy now, mate. It's good to have a few games behind us. And yeah, it was great to have Dunny on. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Thanks, mate.
All right, guys. All the best for your super coach teams this week. Hopefully you're not still spending too much time fretting over the small stuff and you've started to narrow your decisions a little bit. But as Dunny said, hopefully we'll get more of a clear-cut answer this and next week anyway. Hopefully this NAB Cup review was of some use to you. Next week, don't forget that we'll be going to the back line and then a final NAB Cup review and then one final preseason show where we'll also cover last-minute rookies to send you off into season 2015. Don't forget our open leagues, our super coach group and our forum. You can engage with us on supercoachcoach.com.au, on facebook.com/supercoachcoach. Our AFL Live Pass giveaway ends on Sunday night. And again, connect with us on Twitter at supercoachcoach. That's it, guys. All the best for the upcoming week. See ya.
See ya.
See you guys.